Welcome everyone to our Thursday night meditations of this week as we lead up to the Easter weekend. It's been really wonderful to know that even when we can't meet together physically, as a church body, we can still come together virtually and remember the events that led up to the cross. The cross being the centre of the faith that holds us together as one body in Christ. I personally have really missed fellowshipping together, but I have also been so encouraged by daily tuning in alongside my church family and knowing that we are all listening together and encouraging each other this way. Tonight we're going to meet Jesus in the upper room as he prepares his disciples for what is to come, and I encourage you to listen in that conversation.
Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 10 to 26. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money, so he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found the things just as Jesus told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened. And one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives.
We have followed Jesus this week, from entering Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, to clearing the courts of those moneylenders, of challenging the Jewish leaders, of performing miracles. And now in this passage before us on Monday, Thursday, we see Jesus in the last few hours with his disciples before his arrest and his kangaroo court before the Jewish leaders. And in these last few hours, he chooses to have a meal with his followers. And not just any meal, the Passover meal. A meal that Jesus wants them to understand will take on new significance in the coming days. A meal for us that will be in the entirety of the gospel. And we find Jesus in the upper room above the living quarters of a house in Jerusalem, perhaps the house of a follower or a friend. In this room, it would have been candlelit or oil lamp lit, and a long, low table with perhaps 14 or 15 people able to recline around the outside. And perhaps as Jesus stood to lead this Passover meal, he would have taken his disciples back to the time of Moses, a time to over 400 years of slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. They were in a bitter, bitter situation in their slavery with no rescue plan or way out. They would have tasted bitter herbs that evening meal to remind them of the bitter time of slavery. Again, Jesus would have dipped herbs in salt water to remind them of the tears that were shed with the pain and the anguish of slavery in Egypt. And the Bible says that is a little like our hopeless position as well. In John 8:34 it says, Those who sin are slaves to sin. That's me. And that's you. All of us sin. All of us have turned our back on God. All of us want to be gods of our own life. And the Bible also says the price for my sin is death and separation from God. So just like the Hebrews were slaves in a hopeless position without a rescue plan, so the Bible says, in my sin, I am a slave too, also in a hopeless position without God's rescue plan. The second half of the Passover meal turns more now to celebration. For God heard the cries of the Hebrew slaves, and he now puts in motion his rescue plan. And he raised up Moses to be a leader and a spokesperson for the Hebrews. And he goes to Pharaoh and says, let God's people go. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And even after 9 terrible plagues, Pharaoh refused to let God's people go until the final worst plague of all. God instructed Moses to tell the Hebrew people to kill a lamb and to sprinkle its blood on the wooden posts and lintel of their households. And that night, God sent his judgment down over Egypt, and the firstborn in each household was killed, except for the Hebrew households. For this angel of death passed over the Hebrew households with blood sprinkled on their doorposts. And so, as we go back to the upper room, Jesus in front of him would have had the lamb bone. He would have had a cup of wine to remind him of the lamb killed and the blood sprinkled on those wooden doorposts, to remind him that God's judgment passed over the Hebrew households and that they were led to freedom that very next day. And then Jesus pauses and he surprises them as he starts to instruct them in a new meal, a new way to celebrate this Passover with new significance. And he takes the flat unleavened bread that was eaten with this meal and he breaks it and says in verse 22, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup of wine, giving thanks and saying, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And in Matthew 26, it says this blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And they still don't get it yet. They don't get that he's pointing to what is going to happen to him over this next 24 hours. That his body would be broken in beating and torture and ultimately execution on the cross. That his blood was going to be spilt over the wooden posts of the cross. And they don't get yet why, but it will help them in the future to understand why he had to go to the cross and die. Jesus wants his followers to know, and he wants you and I to know in this final meal that he has, that he is the new Passover lamb, that he is our Passover lamb. He is God's rescue plan for those who are slaves to sin, for you and for me. Jesus is our rescue plan. That God's judgment for my sin that I deserve would pass over me and be put on Jesus instead. That I can know freedom from this power of sin and death, and I can know a new life in Christ. If I confess that I am a slave to sin, I need a rescuer, I need forgiveness. If I accept Jesus as my Passover lamb, as my saviour on the cross, and if I strive to make Jesus my Lord and live for him. I wonder if you're a Christian this Maundy Thursday, would you take great encouragement? Would you rejoice as you remember Jesus, your Passover lamb, who brought you from slavery to sin to freedom with our God. And perhaps if you don't yet know Christ, perhaps maybe even tonight you would pray these three things for yourself, that you would confess you're a slave to sin in need of rescue, that you accept Jesus as your Passover lamb, and that you would strive to make Jesus your Lord and live for him.
Lord Jesus, as I meditate and pray my way through these scriptures, I'm undone. What but the gift of faith can enable us to grasp the wonder of these words and the magnificence of this moment? What but the power of the gospel can enable us to believe and obey them? Grant us both, I pray. On our calendar, we call this day Maundy or Mandate Thursday, a day in the history of redemption brimming over with glory and grace. On this day in Holy Week, Passover became the Lord's Supper, your supper. The promises of the old covenant would soon be fulfilled by the blood of the new covenant, your blood. Having shared eternal glory with your Father, you showed stunning grace to your disciples. Having loved this ragtag bunch of broken men who squabbled with each other hours earlier for positions of honour, who within a few hours would all scatter and deny you, having loved them so well for so long, you then showed them the full extent of your love. You loved them to the end. You loved them through and through. Your disrobing to wash their feet was with a full view to you being stripped naked to wash their hearts and our hearts. Indeed, the measure of your love isn't just the basin and towel of the upper room, but your cross and death on Calvary's hill. What wondrous love is this indeed? How wide, long, high, and deep. Thus you command us, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is the new and never-ending mandate we live under as your disciples. A mandate, not a suggestion. There is no greater love than the love you have for us, none. And there is no clearer evidence of our love for you than the way we love each other. Jesus, we acknowledge and grieve the multiple ways we love poorly, in our churches, in our families, in our communities. We offer no lame excuses and make no empty promises. As you continue to convince our unbelieving, dull hearts of your great love for us, convict us, humble us, and love through us to your glory. So, amen, we pray in your holy and passionate name on this Maundy Thursday.
So great, who bore my sin, the awful weight. He took it all to Calvary and paid the price so I go free. No greater mercy ever shown, no greater love was ever known. Jesus washed my sins away and cleared the debt I could not pay. For me, redeemed. nation's plan. The Son of God became the Lamb. The Lamb became the crucified, the dead and now the reconciled.
Thank you for taking the time to be still and hear from God's word tonight, and for journeying with us this whole week as we remember the events of the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. Please join us again tomorrow night when we'll be having a combined service with Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church. It won't be at the Presbyterian Church, but once again, live to your living room. It will be an extended 45 minutes and it will start at the earlier time of 7:45 p.m. I really hope you can join us. Until then, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.